I am Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks. Good morning, fellow R&B talkers.
There's a hand gesture I wish to make right now, but I will not because it's going on YouTube. Not at you, really, but just
in the general sense.
Just in general sense.
Just in the general sense of it's way too early in the morning. Is that the?
Yes,
dude. It's 8:51, man.
I know, but
it's not like 4 a.m.
Again, when you're put on a new medication and it causes you to sleep like 3 hours and you wake up and you can't go back to sleep and you've been that way for a week, it tends to.
Have you allowed your doctor to know that this is a side effect?
Indeed, I did. And my doctor said, I don't think that's a side effect of the medicine, but lay off it for a few days and see what happens. So I'm laying off it for a few days and we'll see if that makes any difference.
Well, you know, that might tell you what you need to know.
Yeah. So I'm a royal asshole right now.
It's very nice. You're all right. You're okay. You know, you haven't like put anybody in a chokehold or anything.
No,
you're good
yet. But today is looking like the day.
Is it? I
mean, it really feels like it's a chokehold.
Well, as soon as this episode's over, I'm going home.
I'm out.
This has been R&B Talks.
Later.
How are you? Other than that, Reginald.
I'm good, man. We got my last Christmas gathering is today.
Okay.
With my brothers. And I smoked some. We got a big old ham to prepare. Julie's gonna do that today. I smoked the beef ribs yesterday. They're on the warming oven.
In the warming oven.
Warming oven.
I smoked them. Smoked the ribs.
Yep. They looked fantastic. So beef ribs are like my favorite barbecue of all time. I think that is my favorite.
I would have to say mine is probably. Smoked Korean pork barbecue is my favorite.
I don't think you can smoke Korean barbecue because it's.
Well, what I'm saying is, and I've had it before, they smoke a ham, and then they shred it, and then they smoke the sauce, and then they pour the smoked sauce, Korean barbecue sauce, over the pork, and it's fantastical. No. So I don't know if it would technically be Korean barbecue, so to speak, but it's Korean barbecue sauce and it's got like chives and other things in it that give it the deliciousness.
Okay.
I only like pork smoked. Like if you were just to serve me a pork chop, I'd be like, "Come
here." Oh man, you can have a really good pork chop, dude.
You can, but not.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. But that has to be one of those. It has to be like a high level. Like I've never been able to cook pork without it. Tasting like a shoe.
Oh no, man. I've had some pork chop that was legit, dude.
I had a pork chop at a steakhouse in Vegas called TJ's and it was amazing. But
why would you have a pork chop at a steakhouse?
It was this third night in a row eating there and I'd had steaks the previously two nights and I was like, you know what? I'm going to have something different tonight. So I had a pork chop.
It's just
it was
weird.
A huge pork chop too. It was like this big.
It's just weird. You'd go to a steakhouse and get a pork chop.
It was a massive pork chop.
I know they do that, by the way. I mean, yeah. It's always fascinating me that steakhouses would have like, here we serve pork chops.
So what's your favorite cut of steak?
I'm a ribeye guy, dude. I really like the ribeye.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a cowboy.
Cowboy what?
Cowboy cut. Cowboy ribeye. The big one. Looks like brontosaurus steak is
what
I call
it. Still a ribeye.
Because you grab by that bone, and right before you eat somebody, you could club an animal and commit, you know.
It's still a ribeye, though.
I know, but it's the deliciousness. It's something about the bone that makes me feel good about it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I hear you. Of like a really good bone-in ribeye is pretty awesome.
You know, there's something about your steak having a handle.
I did get a couple of those for Father's Day one year for me and my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And it was before he had got his outdoor kitchen set up or whatever. So I brought over my griddle that I have, right? I brought it over and I cooked them up for him. And they were, I mean, dude, it was
to me, so that's good. The pinnacle of a steak is cowboy ribeye.
No, I mean, like I've had, you know, the Jeff Ruby says that bone-in filet. It's, I don't know. That's probably my favorite steak of all time.
A close second for me is a really well prepared porterhouse.
Yeah, no, not a porterhouse fan. I mean, it's fine, but no.
But it has to be prepared properly. The best porterhouse I've ever had was at Ruth Chris. Because when I ordered it, they brought it to me exactly how I asked for it. And it was, every bite was a treat to behold. So,
I am tired though, man.
Just I know.
Freaking tired.
I know. You need nappy time.
No, it won't work. I mean, this is the problem. Like, I really just have not had enough sleep and it won't go away.
Can I ask a question?
No.
And that's how R&B Talks goes. Are you sure it's the medicine or are you just having like, dude, I have trouble sleeping when there's a lot going through my head.
Oh yeah, but dude, that my usual is that.
Yeah.
The typical thing for me is to struggle to shut my brain off. That's how I've been for God knows how long, but this is different.
Yeah.
It's not.
Cause it's just restlessness and all that.
I don't know. It's just waking up and then, I'm actually cold.
Yeah.
Which I never, ever get cold. Like ever.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
I'm cold all the time.
I am not a cold person.
I can get cold in the middle of a 110 degree day.
Oh, not me, dude. I mean, I don't get cold. So, there's a lot of things. Stuffy nose is actually another side effect. And I'm like, why has my nose been? Because my sinuses and everything been fine, but my nose is stuffed.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have immense amounts of trouble trusting the medical industry. So when they tell me to take a pill for anything, I am extraordinarily hesitant to a level far beyond. I would say it borders paranoia.
I get that. And I don't take pills just to take pills. But
I know. But my
doctor doesn't do that either. I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm going to
lay off of it. I like that advice. Lay off of it.
Lay off of it for a few days. So, yeah. So that's all. What was else there was going on something else, but back to work, you know, yay.
Back to work. Yay.
Well, not really back to work. I didn't take off during the holidays, but like pretty much you're off because there's nobody.
Yeah. Nobody's doing anything.
Which it always astounds me, man. Cause like this company I work for used to just say, oh yeah, we're shut down the week between Christmas and New Year's, which made total sense. Cause no one does anything.
That's smart.
But they knocked that off and said, oh, we'll give you more holidays throughout the year off. But then again, you don't do anything during the holiday. I mean, you know, it's just.
Well, maybe that's what they realized, right? Maybe they thought they knew you weren't going to work that much anyway if you did work. So they'd rather give you more days during the year, which is a little bizarre for a corporation. But.
I know. Anyway, so we officially got my team came back together Thursday. Everybody was off from holidays and stuff. So officially back to work and doing all that stuff, which is fine. But yeah.
Are you ready for the blizzard?
You know,
it's coming.
My dad always constantly said those daggone witch doctors, the weathermen. He never called them weathermen, witch doctor. He called them. He says they don't know what they're doing.
Well, here's
I totally back. He's totally right.
I told my wife a long time ago. I was like, I picked the wrong career, and she was like, why? I was like, because if I was a weatherman, I can be wrong 80% of the time and keep my job. How is that? I cannot tell you how many times this is how they should forecast the weather. Tomorrow, it could be sunny or rainy or cloudy or cold or hot or warm.
I get it. It's not like one of those where the equations are pretty specific.
But stick your arm out the window in the morning. You'll figure it out, right? We should start that. The Real Weather Channel. What's the weather? Whatever it is outside.
Let me rub my head and see what it feels like. So, I know, but I don't. I mean, to me, I don't care if we get snow. I don't really care. The only thing I cared about was like I didn't get a chance to clean up my leaves all the way before it snowed. That's what I was trying to do. My daggone leaf vac engine won't start and I can't get it running and I'm very frustrated and I haven't been able to pull it because my arm's still messed up.
Do you want me to come and pull it? No. That, I'm sorry. That sounded weird.
It did sound
I apologize
weird.
For that weird sounding statement.
Pretty homoerotica.
Yeah, that was pretty odd. I heard it. When it came out, I was like, oh.
Yeah, like another thing too this week, like I didn't do really any of my typical chopping of wood or anything. I moved some rounds on Monday and my arm
said
the next day was like, you are a jerk.
You rat stinky.
And I thought, you know what? I'm not done. I'm not ready. And I had these, I don't know. I guess you'd say they're like what? 24 inches.
Yeah.
Of white oak or red oak or post oak or whatever.
Dude, any oak is heavy.
I know. You know, so I was like, how heavy is it? And it was, so when there's a log calculator, cause you know, most of that stuff. And they're about 250 pounds.
Those were the doors we hated moving when I was working, were the big heavy doors.
Well, I thought, cause I'm like, surely they're not that heavy, you know, but when you're trying to roll them around and especially when you're trying not to use an arm, that is insanely stupid. It doesn't work out very well.
That's a fail video in the making.
Oh man. Well, I got this tree the electric people cut down this one tree over on the property over here.
Yeah.
Because it was right next to the lines, you know?
Yeah.
And they just, it's all left down this hill that I can't get my tractor down because if that's where like a drainage thing is and some other things.
Yeah.
So you can't run over that. You'll wreck the drainage pipe and all this stuff. So you gotta push it up this hill basically. I could take a piece of rope and pull the logs by themselves probably up, but then I'm going to rake over all the other stuff. And anyway, long story long, it's best to cut it up and then just roll it or lift it and carry it up.
I'll tell you something the other day I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
There are these hills in Deutschland. And when there's still a group of, I don't want to call them Amish, because they didn't call them Amish, but they live off the land. But to get the logs from the top of the hill to the bottom, they've built these sled trails and these old school 1930s snow sled sleds. And here's the thing.
I've seen that.
These dudes pile logs up and then they lean against the front of the sled and they literally walk down this giant hill with this sled of logs behind them. And I'm like, just be cold. But that's how they get their lumber to build like their homes. They get their logs for their fire. And I'm watching these dudes. Not only did you cut the trees down with an axe, which meant you were up there for a bit whacking down that many trees, but then you loaded them onto a sled and walked them down the hill whilst essentially keeping them from running you over. Like, that was impressive. Like, I was like, you guys win.
Yeah, that takes some pretty significant size cojones.
And I was like, you win. How do you not win? I'm like, world's strongest man kind of material there, right? Like, that's nuts. And there were like teenage boys walking. And these sleds had to weigh in excess of 700, 800, maybe 900 pounds. And they're literally just, you know, leaned up against it, just kind of goose walking down this hill, like tenderfooting it to get it down low. And they said it in the video that they load, one person will do 2 to 3 of these sleds a day. So imagine that. You got to go up to the top of the hill, chop the tree down, no chainsaws.
I know.
Straight axes.
Oh, yeah.
Chop them up, load them on the Christmas tree sled, and walk them down the hill 2 to 3 times a day. That's pure insanity.
It is, but it's also very, honestly, dude, it'd be great work.
It would be.
It'd be awesome.
But that's the guy I don't want to like upset, because then he'll like mule kick me and I'll die.
I haven't cut a tree down with an axe. I've actually bucked a tree with an axe though, meaning that, you know, you cut it up to pieces with an axe. And it's pretty frippin' cool. Although you do have to be careful about your swinging the axe, because you can hit your foot, and that would be not good.
Oh, there's of course, I'm the king of fail videos, and I crown once a week one fail video the winner. And my favorite video is, there's this guy, and he's in Alabama, and he's hammering. They're working on building this deck, and he's hitting this deck with a hammer, and he's talking to his son, telling him to be safe with the hammer as he misses the deck and hits himself right in the balls. And I fell off my chair laughing. I was like, you are preaching safety as you crush yourself crotch wise. That might be the funniest thing I've ever. I laughed, like I blurted out laughing at work because I was on my break watching this, and I literally lost my mind laughing. I was like, and it wasn't the ball shot that made me laugh. It was the fact that he was looking at his son super serious and was like, you need to understand what safety is. You got to be set. Wham. And then he just curled over in a ball and laid there. That's what you get for lecturing people. Anyway, I do have something I would like to discuss, Reggie.
Let's roll with it.
And I've been noodling this around because I'm struggling with society right now. I really am. New Year's Day, act of terrorism occurred.
Oh, that.
Yeah. When a man drove a car into I guess it was a parade, maybe some kind of celebration.
No, they just block off Bourbon Street.
And killed 14 people.
Yeah.
And his name was Shamsud Din Jabbar.
Oh, really? What kind of name is that, Brian?
It's a terrorist name. Or as Key and Peele would say, the terrorists.
Can I say? Let me say this right.
Okay.
this probably gets banned. By the way, there's a how many terror attacks have we had from Islam based people versus not? Let me just say that. What's the statistics, right? And I would, I've known what these are, and it's very highly in favor of Islam extremists.
Well, I mean, and the thing is just kind of look at the overarching part of it. The investigators figured out that he worked alone. Most of them are lone wolves. They're people that have been.
He was put on by ISIS or something like that, right? That's what they said.
But they found he had posted, and here's the thing that bothers me. They found he had posted several videos on social media pledging his support for the Islamic State group.
Yeah.
Inside the car, they found multiple firearms loaded and what appeared to be an improvised explosive device in the vehicle. So that tells me that the driving into the crowd was just the beginning of what he was trying to do. He wanted to kill...
Yeah.
A lot more people.
Yeah.
And I hate to use this word because there's nothing lucky about this, but we're very lucky that improvised explosive device didn't go off.
Yeah.
I pray a lot, but I did pray a lot this week for the people that died. And here's why. We're getting to a point of just anarchy beyond anything I've ever seen in this country. Cause now it's just, you know, we don't have this guy, you know, not to mention the fact that social media, according to our friends at Facebook, they're supposed to be policing these types of videos and helping us to stop these things from happening, which obviously that didn't happen. Besides the fact that this guy, if I'm correct, was he former military? Okay. So he's a former U.S. military veteran. Which really breaks my heart because I have a super soft spot for veterans, but I do not have a soft spot for this guy, like at all. Like, you know, and I just feel like we're in honestly, the other day I told my wife, I was like, I feel like we're in an anarchy state right now. I feel like we're all just sitting around waiting for the next stupid, bad, horrible thing to happen because it's a constant repeat. I think there was another shooting where 4 people died. You know, what are we doing? Like, what, I mean, this is not, you know, and I did a little bit of studying. I went back and I looked at the 60s and 70s. Now, you had some things going on in the 60s and 70s. You had, you know, some of the worst serial killers in our history were walking and stalking during the 60s and 70s. You had some things going on still on the racial divide and things like that, but you didn't have just sheer acts of terrorism happening on U.S. soil on the level that they're happening right now. And these are, let's call them what they are. The transgender kid that shot up the school, that's a terrorist attack, dude. That's not, you know, these are people trying to shear down the fabric of our country, of our government, of our lifestyle, and they're doing it right underneath our nose. And I can't quite understand how we as technologically as advanced as we are, as quickly as we can catch warning signs, as many things as we have working, quote unquote, for our security, how this consistently and constantly is happening. And there is no level of preparedness to kind of meet this stuff where it's at. I mean, this guy went on Facebook and basically told everybody what he was, right? He was an Islamic sympathist. And I don't have, you know, the several of the school shootings, they went on Facebook and social media and basically told everybody what they were going to do. And then it happened and everybody wants to cry and boohoo and be shocked. Don't get me wrong. I feel horrible for the families of the victims. Horrible. But what I really feel is a severe loss of responsibility of our government, of our healthcare system, all the things that are implemented to stop these things from happening.
I don't. I'll be honest. I don't. I think that there's a lot of places in the country still where there's still civility and morality that is in play most of the time. And I believe that where we live is one of those places. We don't foster the air of that kind of thing. However, I will say that most of the stuff that you see from the 60s and 70s, I'll tell you what happened. The fascist, leftist, power mongering, greedy, global Mongols, whatever you want to call them, have been slowly taking over and making plays. And part of that is to stoke extremism. And part of that is making wealth and money moves that give funding towards these organizations and stuff, taking over the institutions, all of that has led to where you have we just have a lot of sheep, dude, that have led to this kind of thing where it's easier to get your feelings hurt now than it ever has been.
My question is this. I don't know that this has much that my side. I know there's sheep, but my thing is Instagram, Facebook.
Those shouldn't be policed, and they shouldn't be looked at like that, though, Brian.
Then what do we do? Do we just allow people to continue to die?
No, but I'm saying you don't you're not going to change anything unless you change the culture. Unless you change how you teach people, unless you change what character traits we endow into our kids, you're not going to change anything.
Do you think that there's any merit? There's been several, I won't call them conservative voices because I don't really consider them conservatives or sort of extremists on the right, that have raised concerns about allowing anybody that is not a birthright citizen of the U.S. into our military. Do you think that has any veracity at all? I don't. No, I don't. But
because it doesn't, that doesn't matter. If they've been indoctrinated into a culture of death, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I don't think that has a,
it doesn't matter if you're American.
I just
or not.
Wanted to ask the question because it just, I've heard it asked a couple times and I'm like, I don't really think that has anything to do with it.
No.
Right. Like I don't,
no,
but there's plenty of people who have come to America as young kids and went on to serve in our military and have been great people. So I don't really want to drag that animal out to be kicked, but I have heard the question asked.
But this is all on purpose, dude. I mean, that's what I mean. Like you see these kind of things. That's why we have the level of, and you really got to travel a lot to understand the difference in people's attitudes from like the East Coast and West Coast and all around the different regions of the country to understand what you're dealing with, because it's vastly different from like the Northeast versus the Southeast versus the Northwest versus the Southwest versus like Texas versus Florida.
Yeah.
And then the Midwest kind of thing, right? Everybody has a different culture about it. But one thing has been escalating over the last few decades, especially, and that is this control socialist mind-numbing idiocy on the coasts of both East and West. That has been increasing, and we all know that. Now, there's been some shifts in some of the parts of the country, I would say. Yes,
there has.
Especially in the Northeast and on that side of the coast. I think there's a lot more common sense happening because they're just fed up with, like New York is kind of just totally fed up with everything. But, you know, you still have bastions of these. But those ideals, right? Those ideals allow for sympathetic and just really naive ways of looking at things. And, like, you have those... In typical today, Muslim sympathizer people, right? It's everywhere. Now, I'm not one that goes and hates anybody or hates a Muslim Islam person at all. Mm-mm. I don't. However, I know statistically and what the Quran says that they are they kill the
infidels.
This is not debatable. Muhammad was a crazy man. Let's just say that. In the book of the Quran was based when he was. I can't get into this, but I'll just say that the way things are with Islam is very much a violent rhetoric. Muhammad had what was it? 83 wars or some nonsense that he fought or something. Yeah. And you're going to tell me that's the religion of peace. No, it's not. That's not what he said. He started off different than how he ended it. And it definitely was. It didn't get easier. He got worse as the Quran goes on and his life went on. So let's just say that this is like what it is. I recognize that there are elements of Islam that can be extreme and it's easy to do because it's in the daggone book.
Yeah.
So there's one thing, right? I mean, it's not like I say we have to make every Islam like a target of more investigative stuff or something like that. If you sit there and you give money and weapons to Islamic extremists, what do you think is going to happen? How many extreme things with them? Hundreds of millions of dollars have we given to the Taliban and to ISIS, really, or whatever. We funded this stuff. And even through CIA operations and stuff like that, we've actually caused a lot of this stuff and caused these extremist groups to rise and have more influence over our people. We've done that. There's government agencies that have done this.
Yeah.
And yes, you can say it, that Reggie character is a conspiracy nut job, but
actually it's not a conspiracy, guys. You can go online and find it.
It's like this guy who did the Tesla truck. Well, the same time.
Yeah. The bombing of the Tesla truck.
You know, Sean Ryan had an emergency episode because he was like, there was one of their old teammates or something wrote the email that was about, you know, this is about the FBI cover-ups and all kinds of other stuff. It's not even hidden anymore. And, you know, people have been, and the people that have been working on these things are not. So when you have this kind of stuff, Brian, and that's been escalating. So since the 60s and 70s, you've had all these things that have compounded and we're at where we're at now as far as where the media says our culture is supposed to be. But again, I think I still look at it like there's places of that sympathy of the media rhetoric and there's places where there's not.
Yeah.
And I don't really care. I mean, well, I care, but like I'm not going to sit there and spend time in an area of the country where they're kowtowing to propagandist nonsense. So I'm happy to where I live. I'm happy to know that this isn't that kind of atmosphere. And I feel like that's more common in the middle of the country than not.
Okay. So I'm going to crawl down another rabbit hole from this rabbit hole. As men of faith.
Yep.
Are we doing what we're told to do by not going into these places and trying to make an impact?
People are. Men are. But
I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about us as our personal responsibility to the Great Commission, to the things that we've been called to do. by saying we don't want to go to those places. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying there are several people that I know that are like, I'm never leaving here. And well, I'm like, that's probably not the right attitude.
I would say that if God said, called me to go somewhere, then I'm fine.
Okay.
But my primary responsibility isn't to take care of the people on the East Coast or West Coast or whatever. Mm-hmm. My primary responsibility is my wife. My second responsibility is my kids. So both of those being fulfilled, I'm 90% of the way there as far as being a biblical man. So that takes up the majority of my time and my effort and my thought processes and everything else. So that being said, you know, if it got to a point where it was like, okay, there's a job opportunity over here, do this, move here, go here, do that. You know, it depends. I mean, but again, I got young kids, man. I mean, that's my priority. Until my young kids go anywhere, that I'm my first and second concern in this whole entire world is them. And if it doesn't work for them, if it's unsafe for them, we will not do that.
Fair enough.
Right?
Right.
Now, I know a lot of other guys, though, who are in those places, and they are – I mean, there was a – I forgot his name. An old NFL player turned pastor was opening a church in San Francisco.
Probably a good place to open a church.
Yeah, and I mean, it was – you know, what's funny is he was talking about how it's so far switched from – having Christianity around that it was actually an unchurched place where people just didn't even understand what it was anymore. That's how far that had gone, right?
Yeah, so, I don't doubt it. Not now. I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, so that's where that was. I mean, that's what he said. He goes, you know, out there, it's like that. So there are people. I mean, hell, I know there's a bunch of Californians that I've what was that? California Christian Institute or something. Very cool. They had a debate about theistic evolution versus creationism and stuff like that. And, you know, it was very interesting. So, I mean, there's places, dude, that it's they're out there. New York, same thing. Boston, same thing. I know, especially Boston, man, you got a lot of roughnecks out in Boston, man. They're not sheep at all.
No.
You know? So anyway, that's
they'll throw you in the bay.
Harbor.
In the harbor.
Harbor.
In the harbor. We're from the towns. We throw you in the harbor.
Yeah. So I guess I just say, you know, I mean, like it's not. If you're taking care of your family, you're taking care of your wife, you're taking care of your family, I mean, you know, that's your primary responsibility. Don't think about anything else until you're doing that. When you're doing those things pretty well, not perfect, you'll never be perfect, but when you're doing those things pretty well, then worry about other stuff.
Well said. Yeah. Well said.
All right, look, here, speaking of debates and stuff, I'm a little late on the train here because this was back in December. I don't know these two guys, but there is some kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle. Apparently. How do you spell that?
I don't know.
K-U-R fuffle?
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
Yeah. over this Billy Carson and Wes Huff quote unquote debate, which I wouldn't call it a debate. It was more of a discussion.
Give us some context.
Yeah. I don't know. I was watching, what was I watching? I was okay. On my YouTube feed. I guess this was a couple of days ago. I saw on the headlines, there was like three or four of the guys that I watch, that I follow anyway.
Probably all talking about it.
Yeah, they all had headlines about this or that or something about it, right? And I'm like, what is that? I didn't see any debate or whatever. And it was, what do you meme was one of the channels. Apologia Studios. I don't know, a couple other ones, right? That we're talking about this. And apparently what happened is in December at some point, I don't remember the exact date, Billy Carson, I don't know Billy Carson. I never paid attention to who Billy Carson is.
So you told me their names, I wasn't aware of them.
Yeah, it was on this guy's channel named Mark Winger maybe, or Mark something. Anyway, Mark had Billy Carson on and a guy named Wes Huff.
Okay.
I don't know, didn't know Wes Huff or Billy Carson. And I still don't know who Billy Carson is, to be fair, because it was like I looked at his Wikipedia stuff and he seems like he's just an entrepreneur and does some things.
Well, was Billy Carson, I want to say that I have heard of him. I want to say that he did an episode of Rogan.
He did do an episode of Rogan.
Okay, so I saw the episode where he talked about like the Nephilim and talked about the pyramids and like all of the stuff that, yeah, I do. I it's coming back to me now. He
sounds like
I would call him the I kind of deemed it New Age spiritualism is kind of what he was spitting, and a lot of it had some traction, but about the other, let's say 20% of it had some traction. The other 80% was just, I was like, dude, I don't know where you're getting this because there's no backing for it. But he has a lot of theories about how Christ and wasn't real and that there was never, you know, he wasn't sent from God. And like he had some very, I would call them very dangerous.
Oh, very, very.
You know.
And that's the whole point of this discussion, right?
Yeah.
And so Billy goes off to talk. And the first thing they wanted to talk about was that Jesus wasn't resurrected. That's not, you know, not true. And he based it on, this was really cool because I was like, here's what happened. Billy Carson said that, yeah, Jesus wasn't resurrected. If you look at the Sinai Bible, I'll quote that. That's what he actually called it. The Sinai Bible, which was predates the King James, which of course it does, but that's not, it's not in there that he was resurrected or whatever. And so Wes Huff, now here's what you got to know about Wes Huff, which I didn't know before. He is a PhD in like ancient hermeneutic languages or something like that, right? He does this stuff for a living where he looks at old original papyri and stuff and like translates this stuff and you know, so they're talking about, you're talking about a guy who's like his job is to study these old texts and stuff, right?
Well, and just so you also know, just to give you a little contrast, Billy Carson is an author, entrepreneur, and speaker known for his work in ancient civilizations and extraterrestrial studies.
Yeah. So anyway, so what Wes did was he had to qualify what the Sinai Bible was, which I would have had to do as well because I don't know what he was talking about. But it was a codex, I forgot what codex it was. But Wes have quoted what codex it was. And let me just summarize this by saying that end up Wes pointed out that the codex actually had the complete four gospels in it that did say what the resurrection account was that we have today. It was in this codex, and that he asked had to ask qualification about like where he was talking about because he was, you know, and so what happened was is Billy says, well, It's in the book of Barnabas or Epistle of Barnabas or whatever, which is one of the apocryphal things. And Wes was like, that's a known forgery. We don't give any significance to that because of the way he even went off on like how it was a forgery and all this other kind of stuff. So, and he goes out, you know, and then that's the nature of this, the whole debate that they were having was that Billy Carson would say something about something being not true in the Bible versus this or contradictory or whatever. And then Wes coming back and saying your sources are not correct. They're wrong. They've been proven by this. And that's what most, it was a great example of what most secular like professors or PhD guys or smart dudes, people think are smart dudes when they come to debate Christian things because they get these sources that are completely not accurate at all and have been deemed by not just Christian but secular people as not historical or invalid or whatever. He did that the entire time. Now, let me say this. Here's the biggest thing though. Billy got I didn't know this until I looked at Twitter and all these kind of stuff, but he was getting hammered by people. Like people were all about and just totally. So Billy got unhinged.
Yeah.
Went on a Twitter thing about
all this kind of crap, and then end up trying to sue Wes Huff, end up trying to do a cease and desist order.
Yeah, I'm reading that right now.
Yeah. All this stuff, dude.
Did you read Wes Huff's response to this suit? I mean, look, man.
But you have to watch. See, the thing, here's what I'm going to say before you. Wes Huff was very respectful and polite.
Yeah.
And actually was more, not even about correction. He was just wanting, really, you could tell his intention was to point Billy to the right source material. That's really what he was doing the whole time. And it wasn't really a debate. And it wasn't that format. It was really a discussion where Wes was just saying, hey, this is my job. And I'll tell you that's this text and all this stuff. And, but you know, it's the world of the internet. So people take that for what it is.
Well, what I can tell you that and as we talked about this a little bit about some things we wanted to cover, but as I have kind of been studying things, I've been kind of going down the rabbit hole. For me, I've been going down it for a different reason, and that's to disprove a lot of things, like a lot of the extraterrestrial claims about biblical times and a lot of those claims. It's why I'm studying the Nephilim, because I really want to know the truth, right? Is this a thing, or is this a wildly imagined thing? And the problem is when you have someone who's open to believe anything, they will believe anything that they open themselves to. And I think what you got with Billy Carson is a guy who opened himself to believe anything. And then when he began to go down some of these obviously just blatantly non-factual rabbit holes, he just adopted them as beliefs. Whereas with a guy like Will Huff, if he's like you and I, and we don't really like to talk about things we don't know anything about, because we're afraid of talking about it, just because we would rather give good information, you're going to have a hard time debating that guy or even talking to him. That's one of the reasons I'm sure apologetics appealed to you was a better way to explain your faith. That's why I relish the conversations, right? Let's sit down and have a good conversation about, factual things. And, the one thing I can tell you about the Bible is I've read and read and read, and there's no part of the Bible that doesn't take me back to a factual point or a historical point. So there's all these, and you obviously had a weak argument, because when he began to release excerpts from this argument or this discussion you were having, you sent a cease and desist letter and threatened to sue him, which you have no grounds. It's a public forum. Podcasts are a public forum. If we invite somebody on here willingly, unless we have them sign something contractually, we can't tell them how to use their likeness. So if they want to take excerpts from our podcast and put it into a reel, we can't stop them. So you're obviously your position is weak.
But the thing, okay, here's what blows me away here, though. I mean, Billy Carson is supposed to be an intellectual guy. And an academic fellow or whatever, right? I don't know how far that is, but I'm not that, barely have a bachelor's degree, right?
Yeah.
But I know enough to know your source material is everything for academic research or scholarship or anything like that. So if I'm going to go study or research a topic and I'm going to go on like Joe Rogan, for instance, and I'm going to sit there and tell Joe Rogan and
expound.
And all this stuff. I better make sure my source material that I got my stuff from has been as legitimate as I can, right?
Yeah, but being somebody who went back to school, Reggie, and took sociology classes and psychology classes, the one thing I can tell you is just because they call it academic,
no,
doesn't mean it's common sense, right? Like, just because someone has intellectual power doesn't mean they have the wherewithal to use it. I mean, Billy Carson very well could be intellectually a very intelligent person, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, go look in history. Some of the most wickedly intelligent people have gone down some very bizarre roads. I mean, look at, John McAfee from McAfee Antivirus. I mean, he was a great story of a dude just losing his mind. Super intelligent guy, very well educated, and turned into a complete wingnut. Like there's this thing of, I think that when you're gifted with a very, very high level of intelligence, mm-hmm. I think there's some some definite problems that come along with that. Because I think there's a challenge within us as people. Well, I have an IQ of 150. Why can't I understand this? Right. And if you beat your head, what if you're told something enough times, you're going to begin to adapt it. So if he heard, you know, there were aliens, Jesus was an alien. If he heard that enough times, he's going to try to explore that and prove it is true.
I get that. I'm just saying, you know, text like that.
Yeah.
You know, the specific stuff, especially when he was referencing in this, this discussion was, it's clear though. I mean, those aren't even like debatable things. Like yeah.
There's nothing behind them.
There's really, it's really not hard to find out the truth of the text he was, you know, trying to source. Right. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, and by the way, this whole discussion was moderated by this guy named Mark on his channel, right? He was so interruptive and disruptive, and just out of just a fish out of water in this whole thing. It was like, I don't know, man. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he does or whatever, but the stuff he tried to insert was like really not helpful at all. He had this, he got caught on this thing about slavery that was just, it's really not hard to understand. It just seemed like this was something he should have stayed out of. You know what I mean? And it's like, and even it was just really dumb, dude. He really, really needed to shut up and just let these guys talk. Cause it was bad, dude. He was a completely no.
Now I got to listen to it in its entirety.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he said he was a Christian and all this kind of stuff. He was going through things, but it was just like when he added stuff. Again, what I'm saying is, people, that is not how you moderate a discussion between two intellectuals, especially if it's a subject you have nothing, you have no really backing on or anything. Don't try to interrupt the
two experts.
Yeah, don't do that. you seem like a moron.
Yeah,
like a complete idiot.
Well, see, it's you see it all over the place. You see it in political debates.
You do.
The moderators are just morons, and you see, and I've seen several debates where I'm the moderator says things, and you're like, exactly what does what you just said have to do with anything that's going on right now? But I think it's this image of self-importance that we hold. Well, because here's the thing, you and I are going to have guests soon. And if we have a guest on who I am truly interested in hearing what he has to say, and I'm really truly trying to glean from him, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to listen. I might respond once he's done, but I'm also going to be very, very careful about my responses and to not look like a nincompoop, you know. And
well, this guy did, bro, because it was like this one topic in particular when they were talking about slavery and how Christian, because this is another Billy Carson thing, was about the slavery stuff and I forgot what passage they were talking about. What Paul was referencing something, and this Mark guy was like, but, I mean, if God knew we were going to be reading his Bible, why wouldn't he have, like, just said that? It was like, dude, this is 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Paul was writing a letter to a certain group of people who have this. I mean, he's saying that what he needed to say, but he's not going to say it like we're going to say it. And he was just stuck on this. He couldn't wrap his head around the fact that Paul would write a letter to the people at that time in the context of that time, and that we would have to understand that context in order to truly understand what Paul was saying. Like, he had this huge, it was this weird back. Like, it was just so stupid, dude. It was just like, dude, all right.
Part of that too is that you and I both know this. When you're reading biblical passage, it's not hard to decipher if you're using a companion and you're researching.
Well, but like any text.
There's many a text in the Bible that I've read it at first glance and I'm like, yeah, I don't get it. And then I go get my companion or I go do some study and then I'm like, oh, all right.
I mean, but it's just like any text you're going to read. Yeah. Like if you're reading Dante's Inferno,
exactly.
You can't read that like it's 2025.
Yeah.
You got to read it like it was written or Homer's Odyssey. I mean, look, if
Moby Dick for the love of Pete.
Yeah. I mean, any text, like it doesn't matter what it is. You need to take into account when it was written, where it was written, who it was written and for.
Why it was written.
Well, yeah. Because it's not going to.
Yeah.
It's not going to make, you're going to run into things that you're going to extrapolate differently than what the author intended if you don't take into account the context. Period. Anything. Science fiction, fantasy, freaking drama, whatever. It doesn't matter. Shakespeare. Hell, Shakespeare is a good example. You can't read that like it's today.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take into account the context of which Shakespeare wrote those plays. Anyway, it was an interesting trip down this, because I'm not a really I think I've said this before. I'm not like a debate person. Like I think debates don't end up doing much good sometimes. People like them though, and you know I think a lot of times it's better to have a discussion where you talk and you have back and forth about a particular subject that lends itself to be more productive, in my view anyway, have more of in the future.
I think a debate is a failed attempt at discussion in the sense that one or both parties in a lot of cases are closed-minded coming into it, right? If you, it's very rare, you know, one of the coolest kind of things I like to see is when two people of differing opinions sit down but have open minds, because that can be a truly, you know, helpful discussion. Call it a debate if you want. They may be debating different opinions, but they're both open-minded to understanding things that they may not have known. But I think for a guy like Billy Carson, he's decided this is the truth regardless. Yeah. And unfortunately, when you have a person like that who's, you know, not open to hear you, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to change their mind, but not open to hear you and to respond to you, you know, with a level of respect for your knowledge base and for what you've studied and for what you bring to the table, then it's not really a debate. It's just a childish argument at that point. Like we're just going to ping at each other until we get frustrated, and then nobody's going to solve anything.
No.
You know,
well, guess who's gonna who was on Joe Rogan? Wes Huff was just on Joe Rogan.
Really?
I don't know if the episode released yet or not, but he was.
Well, I'll be listening to that.
Yeah,
I might have to go back and listen to Billy Carson first.
I mean, because he was. It was funny because I saw all this stuff about this debate, and then there was a little, you know, in the midst of all this was like a hey, guess who's going to be on Joe Rogan?
It well, and on top of that, you know, that's tough because Joe. You know, I like Joe Rogan and I listen to a lot of his episodes, but
yeah, he's not, I know what you mean.
He's not anti-Christian, but he's had some very unkind things to say about people who believe in Christ. You know, he's had some very judgmental things that have come forward. And I would love to know where and why he's taking those judgmental stances, just simply because, you know, a lot of the stuff that he said doesn't make any sense, doesn't have any real factual backgrounds or anything like that. So, but I look forward to it. Like I'm going to go back and listen to Billy Carson now and listen to that episode. And then I got to listen to Will Huff when he's on there. But I mean, one thing I would encourage people too is, you know, when you're out there and you're looking to debate someone, you're not going to win an argument with false or augmented information. You just got to bring the facts to the table.
Well, in your source material, yeah. Your sources are everything.
Yeah.
That's what I want to make sure everybody, and this is what point Wes was trying to make. Like if you use source material for your conclusions that are historically inaccurate, proven to be forgeries or out of context or something, then you're basing your entire conclusions on a false narrative that is not true. Right. And that leads no one anywhere good. You're now you're influencing people from a a place that's completely fabricated, right?
And we already live in a world where the fabricated yes. is widely accepted, right? Yes. We live in a world where the fabricated facts are widely thought to be the truth, which is already immensely problematic. So,
yes. And I'm trying to find, there it is. It was 6 months ago. Billy Carson, Joe Rogan, number 2160.
Okay.
That was 6 months ago. It has 5.7 million views.
Well, that's worrisome.
Anyway, so yeah, just look it up, give it a shot. I mean, the debate I'll put the link to it in the description in case anybody wants to watch it. It's 2 hours, but yeah, I mean, it's not a debate, and I think hats off to Wes because he performed admirably, and I don't think it was disrespectful or anything. I think, and I think Mark needs to understand when to leave out of the conversation for sure. But
well, there's part, you know, anyway. You got to also know when to just step back and let somebody talk, right? Like, you know, I think that's a problem too. In a debate is you get so heated and bent on, you know, getting your point across, that you tend to want to override everybody.
Well, I think right? too, have done this before. Like, it's hard not to stay on one particular point because you have other things around the exterior of that that influence that. So when you get to a certain specific point that you're trying to make, you end up, because your brain is just running and it's spinning, and so you start trying to pull in other things here to bolster this one point, and you end up way off track sometimes because you just tried to pull all this stuff in, and it gets overwhelming a lot of times. Yeah. That's a difficult thing to do depending on the topic, especially when you talk about theological things, because there's so much that is tied into each aspect of it. It's not just a single thing, but sometimes it's better just to like stick to a direct point and get and just put that there. But anyway, so Brian, I think we need to really have a guest. So there's a couple people. I don't know if we'll do it next week because we got to get this reconfigured.
Okay. But you need to let me know one night. I can come over and help you do this.
Yeah. We're going to do that. I think we're good, buddy.
Well, I do want to do something really quickly.
Oh boy.
This won't take but a second, but you and I had talked about this, about shout outs to, so, you know, and the reason this whole idea came up was as I was talking to someone, shout out Dougie. It's a guy that I see probably daily up at the gas station. He asked me where I get some of my inspiration for wanting to do this. And, you know, we talked about, I gave him some of the podcasts I listen to and some of the people I follow on Facebook, but I feel like I want to give a shout out to a couple that I really follow. One is a podcast, and it's called Men in the Arena Christian Men's Podcast. They're not very long. They're usually around anywhere between 15 to 45 minutes. The guests are really good. It's really faith-based, and it's built around men and being men and growing. I think it's worth a listen. And then there's another ministry that I've been following, and it's on Facebook. It's called Warpath Ministries. And it's a recovery ministry, but it's a ministry based in just solid biblical principle. And they police the page really well. Like, if anybody gets on and tries to put anything on that's not biblical, that's solicitations or anything, they wipe it quick. It is simply a support group for recovery and for Christian recovery. And I would like to give a shout out to both of those guys, Man in the Arena, Christian Men's Podcast, and Warpath Ministries on Facebook. They'd be really worth taking a look at. They're people that are out there doing really good work, and I think they deserve a little bit of recognition.
Very good. I don't really have anybody that I would shout out, to be fair, because I don't particularly follow a lot of, well, the typical subjects, like I haven't been watching a lot of episodes of anything really. Any ministries or anything here. That's just habit. I've been entranced. Let's see. I finished my one book series and I'm working on another one. And then after that, I'll get back into my academic theological stuff. I do listen to a couple sermons every once in a while. It just depends on what it was. There's a, what was the one guy? I don't have it now, but I'll find it. There was one dude I found on the church that he was on. I forget what it is now. I got that dang on it. I'll find it. But anyway, we are R&B Talks. If you have questions or concerns, please put them in the comments or send us a message. If you have a suggestion for a topic, do that as well. If you don't want to do that, you can email me or Brian. Well, just email me, Reggie. Reggie at randbtalks.com.
You can email me.
Reggie at randbtalks.com. You don't have your email set up.
Yeah, I do.
You did it on your own?
Dude, I do it on my own.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just how you told me to.
Wow.
I'm capable of certain minuscule type things,
or
right?
Or Brian at randbtalks.com.
That's right. You know, anyway, like, subscribe. Guys, this is R&B Talks. Thank you for coming today.
We're out.
We're out.